The Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life in the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn to your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world, and what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
The automaton is slumped, stubby legs ahead of it, a lolling round head draping downwards, and elongated arms with four fingers on each splay on the ground next to it. Something turns the key in the back of this machine, born rusted and worn. And as the key turns, slowly, the automaton returns to motion. Not to life, as that is something it does not know of. But once again, it begins to move. This machine, which the universe calls Bit, as it is a piece of a larger whole, but nothing more than that, just a piece. Though the world has ended, Bit continues unabated, as there is much work to be done. And so as the key turns, Bit steps, with legs too short to move it quickly, with arms just long enough to narrowly scrape along the ground, slowing its movement even further. Bit continues, though not quickly, doing exactly what work it needs to do. If Bit was ever once a thing made to repair and fix, that vocation is no longer known to it. Instead, Bit does all that it understands how to do, and walking up to the broken roadway of scattered bricks, it picks one up in its four fingers, lamentably short of the 10 that would be needed to make this work so much easier. But it places the brick down away from the roadway, slowly shuffling it off to the side and laying it on the ground horizontally. It then slowly turns around and slowly putters back to the roadway again to pick up another brick, until it has gathered four bricks, and it lays them together, some horizontal, some vertical. But it's not done. Bit takes one more trip to the roadway, and at the speed it moves, this process altogether takes about 6 minutes. Picks up one more brick and places it 3 feet away. Its work is complete. It has made something, and it continues. When Bit was sleeping, Bit did not dream, but perhaps it felt. Perhaps it still felt the tug. Perhaps it still felt the tug of nervousness, that it cannot sleep yet, as there is still more work to be done. That little feeling that stops the mind from having a completely restful eternity of sleep. Now the automaton pauses, as something is different. Some things have changed their color, or lack thereof. The little plants growing out of worn machinery, many wheeled vehicles, some of them have changed slightly. But that is not part of the work. So Bit continues, approaching the wheel of a many-wheeled vehicle, once a chariot for something that Bit will never know, and pulls the screws out one by one, a process which takes 56 and a half minutes. And it puts them, scatters them, onto the ground beneath the vehicle, and it continues.
Miles behind you, over your dreamless shoulder, we see a massive tree growing upward in a different region of the ruin. The largest tree that anyone has ever seen. The city skyline changes dramatically in an instant.
If there was, say, an enormous tree that grew from the land that Bit the automaton could see, Bit would still continue its work unabated, as grand objects are not meant for small things. Instead, bit will find the next focus of its creation. And lolling its round head down, it will see the carcass of a dead ant. Bit will pluck a small white flower growing out of an entirely indiscernible machine, lay it flat, and place the ant within its petals, and then continue on.
We see a lone house, surrounded in cityscape as though the buildings grew up around it, daring them to sell, to move on, but they could never let go. There is space for what once was a garden, a small orchard, all overgrown and unkept, but alive and thriving as well. As you move by, your shadow is cast against the faded siding of this abandoned home. The dusk light is bright and perfect, and your shadow is so much larger than you, towering above you as you both move side by side.
Led by its shadow, Bit will move towards the house and enter a crumbled opening within the side wall, stepping through shattered bits of the shell of this home. And on the inside, the automaton will see a stairwell, of which it will slowly approach and wrap the fingers of one of its long arms around the pole securing the rail of the stairwell and slowly start to climb to the second floor, a process which will take 2 hours. And then Bit will see another stairwell and climb that one too, this stairwell leading to a darker place, a place that is all shadows, an attic of remnants, ruins, pieces, bits. And so the automaton will shuffle through this dark space to the one bit of light it can see, the tunnel of its vision, a circular window. It will push the window from the inside so that the small robot can be seen through the circular opening in the roof of the house. And it does not know why, but it does it anyway. The robot will reach its fingers into its own chest, digging them in until the metal creaks and bends and breaks and opens. Liquid starts to leak out. A remnant of the old world, a remnant of synthetic materials, as thick blue liquid starts to pour out of the robot's chest, drizzling downwards, painting the facade of the house at the speed of gravity. Some might say that the shape this spilling blue oil forms is that of a flower.
If you could roll me 2d6 as we find out what you leave here.
And then I add my feel to this. The die have given a 6 and a 3. Plus 2, that is 11. It's not clear how long Bit stands there, looking downwards at the cavity of its chest and what its own insides have created. But it has no choice but to look down at its work, to absorb it, to feel it. Bit leaves the ruins. Bit leaves the city. It walks past the ants and the screws and the bricks in a process that takes an indeterminately long amount of time. But Bit walks. Unabated, continuing, until suddenly, slowly, everything around it becomes green and grass, and the robot leaves the city for the woods.
We fade back, slowly, taking in this home, this bright, unnatural flower. We look at what you have made, and it changes us. We move from here, deep into the earth, deep through tunnel and stone, and we find another page. What do we read when we close our eyes and hear you?
There is a cavern, or rather a network of caverns, somewhere deep within the earth. In there is a darkness that is thick and quiet. This is a place where there is no noise at the moment. And on the days where there maybe were forces that would like to explore, they did not explore deep enough to make noise here. There is a bit of condensation that is forming on a stalactite, a drop of water. And, as it drops down to the base of the cavern, it makes a little echo. And the echo has a little bit of reverb and a little bit of diffusion, and in that noise, Reeve comes forth. And Reeve looks, for the moment, a little bit like a shadowy drop of water. Reeve takes the form of what has last made noise in Reeve's presence. And so this is Reeve, but it is also the drop of water. This is a lonely echo. There are, in a place as dark and deep as this, there is only one. Even though I am born of noise, I am comfortable in silence. Part of being a noise of the caverns is that silence is broken to create it. These are spaces where very little has been said or seen. And so part of what makes Reeve Reeve is that there is often nothing there, and Reeve is often not of a form. And it is rare that they come forth.
You see the bright wide eyes of the blind fish that dwell in darkness. They approach to inquire at what you are, their pupils like moons orbiting you in a strange sky beneath the earth.
I think that Reeve has arrived with the intent to do some exploring. They have been here for such a long and patient time, and that has been lovely and perfectly comfortable. But now that there is movement and sound, that is exciting. And it is exciting to be able to be Reeve. And so I think that Reeve is, you know, following these fish.
I've waited my entire life in wonder to wonder, how does an echo explore a cave?
There is a technical answer and also a, you know, spiritual answer. It is a answer of you are bouncing off of the walls, and it is, you know, you are moving and diffusing, and there is reverb and change, and there is Reeve goes everywhere. It is filling the space, it is echoing back, it is a joyous thing to be an echo at points. You are traveling and you are seeing things and you are part of a system. An echo does not act alone, and it is exciting to be together.
Far above you, through soil and root and pipe and foundation, you hear the sound of a key being turned.
I am excited that a key has turned. A key has not ever been turned in my presence. This is not a cave that knows what keys are. And I think that that is intriguing.
If some grand force wanted to lower itself to this world, to this very cave, and turn your key, what would your key be?
I think the key to awakening Reeve, or getting Reeve to move somewhere else, or going something, is of course making sound, but it is also giving them a place to make that sound. I think if this cavern were to grow, if I were to find a new place that could support my echo, I think that would be exciting too. I think knowing that there is more out there is, in a way, turning my key.
You discover a new moment, lit by luminescent moss and algae. A pile of garbage, of wood, of metal or fabric, and glass. All surrounded by water moving around it in a circle before it continues forward. How does an echo move over something in order to know it?
I move over these bottles and I move through them, and there is the sound of breath through them, the way that when you blow into a glass bottle and it makes a little hum or a little bit of reverb, similar to the way that, you know, noise moves through a cave. It is a smaller cave, but it is a cave, a bottle. And it is wonderful to move over and through these new and exciting things. And as I move, I hear the noise it makes. I hear this echo of breath and this almost harmony as I move through several bottles at once, and they make slightly different tones and noises. And I dwell briefly in the bottles, and I take their shape, and I become a space in a bottle, and then I keep moving, and I go over this water and all the other debris and the glass, and one of the pieces of glass is a little curved, and as I move over that, there is a bit of an echo as well, a little bit of noise, as though I am almost a bit of wind, but I'm not. I am the noise that such a wind might make.
We all hear this private opera, this sonnet in glass and echo for no audience but the blind fish that now have a god. A secluded history of the world changing once again as you turn the key for something else. This echo begins to move through caverns, bouncing off stalactites and canyons, and will continue for hundreds of years until these ghostly fish learn a song of their own. Which move are you considering for your great work?
I think this is a build. Okay, so the dice gave me an 8, and I gave myself a plus 1 in build, so that is a 9. I will be doing the design does not last as long as you hope. What does it become when it changes? I love these fish. Very briefly. It is so exciting to be together with them and the little noises they make when they're splashing. And I decide that I would like to build a place for them to have echoes of their own. And so I pick up these pieces of glass and I create a small cathedral. And it is a little dome sculpture out of this glass, a place where echoes can thrive and these fish can enjoy. And it's multicolored glass, so if there was light down here, it might reflect that. But there is not. And there are little pieces of glass coming from the top of it that, should anything move or a wind come, they would make sounds and echoes. But now they are still. And there are, of course, the bottles still assembled at the base of the cathedral, also to make sounds for anything that might come along. But I am not a builder by trade. I am a sound. I am a being of space and noise, and I do not do work with hands. I do not have hands. And so I craft this, and I move along, and as I move along, bits of it fall into the water. And so they make noises as they splash. But it is imperfect. The dome is cracked a little. The bottles tip over at the base. And it is a bit of a broken cathedral because I, who I suppose am sort of the object that these fish might dedicate this cathedral to, and moving along from it. I am not here to tend to it, and so it is not a cathedral to anything, and in that sense it is a little bit broken as well.
There are cathedrals everywhere for those fish without eyes to see, who now listen to the shape of the cathedral, aware that it will not be here forever.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We see a different day. The light has changed. We see Bit standing so small in their dream-filled body, surrounded by a dense wood with fern and moss and tree and canopy. We see Bit picking up a small glass bottle that seems to have caught their attention.
In dense forest, among leaves that cast their own shadow, it will be not feeling, not light, but sound that draws the automaton's attention, as a metallic clink occurs when its stubby leg gently crashes into a piece of something left behind. This glass bottle, which the automaton will then pick up in its forefingers.
The first thing I learn about Bit is Bit's form. I take the sort of form of whatever has last made sound in my presence, and as Bit's little, I don't know, wheel, whatever, hits that glass bottle, little toe, and it resonates, I form from that resonance and look upon Bit as a dark reflection of themselves. And I remember the distant sound of that key, and I feel the shadow of that key in my back.
And so Bit comes face to face with their own shadow at last, in a moment of processing, confusion, not yet acknowledgement, but maybe it'll get there.
We see two Bits. Standing in the wood, your shadow having found you once again. But this time, with your chest pulled open, revealing bright, unnatural blue. Like you are a geode that finally learned how to love.
The cavern that is your chest, as the blue liquid drips from it, the sound it makes is louder than it was before. The forest is not a place that takes very well to echo, but yet it echoes very strong.
Feeling this tug, this acknowledgement, this resonance within their chest, Bit will attempt to touch the echo.
And Reeful, as you attempt to touch, it acts as your shadow and touches back. But it is like touching noise. You know when you hear a loud noise and there's like a little bit of movement to it and you can kind of feel it in your chest? It's like touching that feeling.
It is a moment of absolute befuddlement from this automaton, forced to acknowledge itself, its form. And in unspoken language, it will ask both the shadow and itself, why?
The shadow, of course, responds with why. But in the response, conveys that it thinks you are lovely, and that all things that make noise are lovely. But it says why, because you asked why.
It understands in the tone of the sound, the indicator of the feeling. And so Bit will say, but I am small, and I am broken. Why?
Reeve says, I am small, and I am broken. And thinks of the cathedral that they left in their wake, that is a bit of a broken thing, and still believes that it is lovely. And Reeve does not know smallness as well as Bit does. The cavern that Reeve was formed in is a vast and dark and deep thing. But Reeve knows the sound of smallness well, was born of a drop of water, and loves those blind little fish. And so, Reeve says, I am small, and I am broken. And in that they again convey that being small and broken is lovely.
And so, as one act of acknowledgement to this thing that understands Bit, it will once again reach for the world around it and pluck a white flower from its surroundings as it understands that Reeve, this echo, cannot hold things, cannot touch, cannot feel in that same way. Bit will clench the flower and hold it to its chest so that its shadow, in mimicking it, will feel the same.
Reeve grasps the shadow of a flower, and it is a small, and now, because it was plucked, a little bit broken flower, and Reeve finds the gesture incredibly tender and lovely, and Reeve does not know flowers before this, and now knows them, and likes their echo.
Bit and Reeve are similar and yet opposites. As one who is small but can feel, and one who is incomprehensibly large but does not have hands to touch or build things with. So these entities may give something to one another. At least that is Bit's intention. Recognizing that Reeve liked the flower, Bit is going to make something new. Bit is going to take the glass bottle and the flower and put the white-petaled plant inside of the glass bottle, building Reeve a home decorated by the thing that it liked so much when it lives within the bottle. As Bit attempts to place the flower neatly inside of the bottle, Bit rolls a 7 plus 3 for a 10 for build. And I think I will interpret number 3 for the highest outcome of build. You see what is needed or understand the vision of another, you can create it. And so, this flower is placed stem first, delicately, within the bottle. Subtly, so that it curves slightly on the inside.
Reeve is incredibly moved by this gesture, and understands the intent behind this small and lovely thing, and loves it, and would like to expand upon it and make it lovely for you in turn. So I'm gonna roll love. Okay. That's a 9 plus 1. So, got a 10. You are sincerely moved. What insight do you learn by caring so much? How does it impact your creation? No one has ever done things for Reeve before. Reeve is sort of reactive and used to doing things for and from people, but occasionally people will come into, or things or beings will come into a cave and make noise. It is rarely with the specific intent to make noise, and it is a delight to see this flower, which does not grow in the dark caverns, and find a new thing in this bottle and live in it and have that distinct sound and echo. But I think what Reeve learns from this is as the flower enters the bottle, it makes the space for resonance a little smaller. And that resonance has a different sound that Reeve is not used to. Reeve moves in big spaces, and this little echo is delightful. And so I think Reeve takes the bottle and the flower in it, and through some means creates a second bottle with a flower in it, an echo of the first, and then a third, and a fourth, until the area around Bit is surrounded by little dark bottles with lovely white flowers in them. This strange little bottle flower forest around. And so, because Reeve knows that sound is amplified when it is bigger, and that things, when echoed, can become more resonant, this forest of bottles, Reeve hopes, Bit likes.
Before the two part, for now, as it is inevitable to hear the sound of an echo when moving through the world, Bit will take one of these echoes of the glass bottles, echoes of the flowers, and place it inside of its open chest, using its hand to pull it shut, so that a piece of what Reeve made will move inside of Bit as it continues through the world.
And the liquid that is still dripping in your chest drips onto the bottle with the flower, and it makes a little echo, and it waters the flower in a strange way, and you hear that Reeve is still with you in small part.
So the automaton continues. Its destiny was to change or die, as it could not continue living, making the way it did. But now, it moves onwards, carrying inside of it a blue flower.
When two stars gather, a work must be. We close the book, just for now, there is still such a long ways left to go. There is still so much heart work to attend to, if someday we hope to once again resemble a place that one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to the Ballad of Heartwork, brought to you by The Heart is a Dungeon. Let's meet our incredible guests. A Bit, feeling blue, do you have a name?
Me in real life? Sure. I have been, in addition to Bit, Julian, Julie, or Julie Ciel, J-U-L-I-C-L. on social media. If you want to find my work, typically I post on Blue Sky and Twitch. I am an award-winning fantasy author of the Realm Tree audio drama, a story about how fairies get their wings, a coming-of-age tale featuring voice actors from Genshin Impact, Avatar The Last Airbender, and Assassin's Creed. You can also find me on Roll D5, showcasing indie tabletop games, streaming on my own Twitch channel with my friends, and developing indie systems to be created very shortly.
Reeve, do you have a name?
I do. My name is Louisa. You can find me on various socials at Louisa Blatt. Follow me there for more information about my music. I work with a collective called Fourth Strike that releases a lot of music. You can hear more about that there. I also am on YouTube streaming video games with my friend on a channel called Gay Throughs. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And I'm Rara, but that's enough about that.